Good morning, everybody. I'd like to call this hearing of the Transportation Finance and Policy Committee to order. We have a quorum present for this meeting on February 15th, 2024. All of our hearings are recorded and live streamed by House Public Information. So I want to remind everyone that the basement hearing room is now going to be our permanent place of meeting. Don't wander over to 120, although I love that room. It's reserved for rules on the days we meet at 10:10, so we'll have little flexibility to go overtime. So we'll try to get our hearings in. Usually don't go too much overtime anyway, but just wanted to let you know that we'll have to vacate pretty quickly. And for those in the public, we're going to have to also have some more parameters on limiting testimony. So we have a whole new team transportation, so I'd like to introduce them. We have our new committee administrator sitting to my right, Matt Baumann. Matt. We have a new committee legislative assistant, Tenzin Sangyang. Welcome, Tenzin. And a researcher on the DFL side, Kyle Schwab. And we have a page, a wonderful page, Rachel Ansario. Where's Rachel? Yeah. Okay, so she's great, and I hope you get to know her as well. We have two sets of minutes to approve today. The first is for March 31st, 2023, if you want to take a trip down memory lane. Representative Petersburg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. As I was reading them over, I noticed all the great amendments at the end that didn't prevail. That saddened me a little bit, but I will move the approval of March 31st minutes.
Is there discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed, the motion carries.
Yeah,
and then the second set of minutes more recently, that was our transit safety update hearing, implementation hearing. That was from December 12th, Representative Petersburg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I'll move those minutes as well. Thank you.
Okay. Discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? That motion prevails. So, members, we have two bills on the agenda today. Our first is House File 3436, Vice Chair Tabke. I understand you have an author's amendment.
Yes, good morning, Mr. Chair and members. We do have an author's amendment that makes that we're using this MnDOT policy bill to consolidate a few different technical items and other policy things that need to get done this session as well. And so the amendment gets the bill into the shape we'd like it to be in.
Okay, so this is the A2 amendment. Any questions?
Oh, we should probably move the bill first, huh?
Oh, yeah. We're going to move. Yeah, move. Please move the bill.
Mr. Chair, move the House File 3436 to be sent to Ways and Means.
Okay. Now, so the bill is before us. The amendment is before us. Any discussion to the A2? Okay. All those in favor of the A2 amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? That motion prevails. So now we have House File 3436 as amended before us. Vice Chair Tabke.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. So House File 3436 is a fair number of technical and some policy items that we are working toward getting done this session from MnDOT's perspective and some other cleanup things that need to happen. And so, Mr. Chair, we've got a couple things. If Mr. Burris could walk through the bill to go through the items and then represent some trunk highway bond fixes that are in the amendment that we just added to the bill, and Representative Bakeberg is here to talk about those at whatever time you would like to do that. So I'd say we should walk through the bill first, and then Representative Bakeberg can say a few things about that, and then we can move on to discussion if that would work.
That sounds good. Mr. Burris.
Mr. Chair and members, I'll just do a brief pass through the provisions in House File 3436. So Article 1 contains a number of policy provisions. The first of those is to eliminate a prohibition on spending from a couple of different funds for electric vehicle infrastructure. Following that, sections 2 through 4 make a series of changes that involve a turnback of Trunk Highway 123 to Pine County, along with some corresponding redesignations and changes to statutory descriptions of routes that are laid out for the Trunk Highway system and state statute. Sections 5 and 6 relate to a couple of contracting preference programs that MnDOT has that increases the preference rate from 6 to 12% in each of those programs. Section 7 makes some driving rule changes related to U-turns and reduced conflict intersections. And then Sections 8 and 9, as well as a repealer later in this article, eliminate a concept that, as I understand, is no longer used in the transportation realm around safety zones. Moving then to Section 10, this makes some modifications to requirements around when special permits are required or not required for loads that are divisible or not divisible, so some clarifications along those lines. Section 11 makes some changes in MnDOT's agency requirements on performance measurements and in the planning process. Section 12 makes a modification to the Safe Routes to School program. It eliminates the conditions in some cases where a set of regulations requiring Safe Routes to School infrastructure is required. Section 13 makes a modification to 2023 legislation that had made an appropriation for disaster aid, and that change is to broaden the uses of those funds. Section 14 is the other piece of the safety zones elimination, so there's a repealer of the definition as well as one of the requirements, substantive requirements around safety zones. And then on page 11, if you're following along in the bill, Article 2 makes a series of changes to the Greater Minnesota Transit program and assistance that is administered by MnDOT. Rather than going section by section, I'll just highlight a couple of the elements that are in that article. The first is a series of definition changes. That's both to the terms being used as well as what the definition is for some of the terms and concepts that are used in Greater Minnesota Transit, and that includes adding a new classification for a type of transit that's provided. And then there's some changes to the procedures around financial assistance for transit, along with elimination of the rulemaking authority and the corresponding existing administrative rules to administer the program for assistance. And then finally, there's some repeal of terms that are no longer used as a result of the other changes. And then finally, there's also some modification to a legislative report that's required on Greater Minnesota Transit. That, Mr. Chair, is the high-level overview.
Okay. Any questions from the members? Lee Petersburg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Mr. Burris, can you, again, just kind of explain the issue around the divisible, non-divisible roads? Why did we need to change that?
Mr. Chair. Yes, so we have MnDOT available to answer that question. They can answer it a lot clearer than I can. So if Mr. Dukic would like to, or whomever is the best position to do that.
Good morning. Welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record and proceed with the testimony or answering the question.
Good morning, committee members and Mr. Chair. My name is Laura Rhodes, and I am the director of the Commercial Vehicle Operations Section at MnDOT. Representative Petersburg, to your question, what we're doing and sort of why we need this The definition of non-divisible load has existed in the federal regulations for kind of ever, but Minnesota has never adopted it, nor have we created our own definition. And so this will provide clarity to MnDOT, our permit staff, to law enforcement, and to carriers to know what, you know, types of items are non-divisible. The obvious is like a blade from a wind turbine, and which items are divisible and what and might qualify for a permit.
Representative Petersburg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It sounds like this is basically just conforming with federal law.
Correct.
Okay. And the other question that I had was, did I understand in the transit area and safe routes to school that reservations and Indian governance is excluded from having to follow those, or am I misreading that?
Representative Petersburg, Mr. Chair, Mr. Dukic would be in best position to answer that question.
Welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record and proceed with your answer.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, John Dukic with MnDOT's Office of Government Affairs, and Representative Petersburg, to speak to your question. The language that we're adding to the bill seeks to clarify for counties, cities, and townships that they are required to adopt certain regulations before they move forward with a Safe Routes to School infrastructure project. Those same types of regulations do not apply to tribal nations because they are sovereign entities and have their own government structure. So it's not so much an exemption, but more of a clarification for counties, cities, and townships.
All right, thank you.
Mr. Chair, before we get too much further along, there were, in the amendment, A2, it would be sections 19, 20, 21, and 22. These were going to be, these fixes of the trunk highway bonds were going to move forward as a separate bill, but we decided to add these all together, and it, Representative Norris has a section on here, and then Representative Baker was going to carry the bill, so if we could let him have a minute or two here to explain what those are about and how what's happening with those.
Representative Baker, welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Chair Hornstein. It's a pleasure to be here. Good morning, everyone. I hope everyone had a great commute in. Thank you, Chair Hornstein, Vice Chair Tabke, for the opportunity to address House File 3413, which is included in the larger bill that Representative Tabke talked about. But the portion that I want to talk about today is a technical modification for the appropriation for the 169-282 interchange in Jordan, Minnesota. And this technical modification is supported by MMB and MnDOT. So the technical correction has been requested by Scott County, and Vice Chair Tabke and I are pleased to work together and author this together. When the legislation, it's a really pretty simple fix. When the legislation was passed last spring, MnDOT had not yet committed to delivering the project, and then that agreement was solidified this summer after we had already passed the bill. So this correction strikes the grant, so this is the specific aspect. This correction strikes the grant for Scott County and directly appropriating the monies to MnDOT, and this is really important for Scott County because it ensures that Scott County will not have to carry that $4.2 million and then be reimbursed at a later date. So it's really pretty that simple. Thank you for the opportunity to discuss this important safety project for Scott County, but also for the state of Minnesota, and we are really looking forward to getting this project done, and we had a wonderful ceremony this fall, and would just invite members of the committee and Chair Hornstein down for the ribbon cutting ceremony coming soon.
Thank you, Representative Baker. Any questions? And Vice Chair Tabke, this is a similar situation with all of these trunk highway corrections. Is that
yes, Mr. Chair, it's the exact situation. Same situation for the four different trunk highway bonds that are being the technical fix for those.
Good. I'm glad we clarified that. All right. Any further questions about the bill as amended? Representative Cagle.
I think this question would be for MnDOT.
Dukic.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So I'm looking at page 6, the Trunk Highway Performance Resiliency and Sustainability section, and removing the annual targets, and then some of the other performance measures are being changed, as well as some of the language around it. So I'm just kind of curious, if you're not doing annual reporting, when will the reporting be done? Where data is allowed, is there places where this data isn't being collected? This kind of section worries me a little bit.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, Representative Cagle, the changes to the report are requested because there are certain forms of information or data that aren't available. We're not asking to no longer deliver the report. That would still be, we'd still produce the report. But there's simply some targets are not available on an annual basis. Sometimes it's 2 years or 4 years for federal targets, or 5 years in some cases. And so stipulating an annual target, it doesn't quite conform with how those measures or targets are defined in you know, other areas of federal law, or how the FHWA might produce them.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Any final thoughts about House File 3436 is amended?
Yes, Mr. Chair, members, thank you very much for hearing this bill and moving it forward. There's a lot of good, necessary things that are getting done through here, so I renew my motion that House File 3436 be approved and sent to Committee on Ways and Means.
Okay, House File 3436 is amended on its way to Ways and Means. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed, the motion prevails. Thank you, Vice Chair Tabke. And then your star of the show today. So thank you. Okay. You have a motion for House File 2364.
Mr. Chair, I make a motion to send House File 2364 to the Committee on Labor and Industry.
Okay. That is the motion, and let's hear all about House File 2364.
Your amendment?
Oh,
yep.
Sorry about that. A2.
Mr. Chair, the A2 amendment has some technical changes that were necessary on this bill just for drafting purposes. So we appreciate a yes vote to get the bill in the order we'd like it to be in.
All right. On the A2, is there discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed, the motion prevails. Okay, House File 2364 as amended.
All right, thank you very much, Mr. Chair. House File 2364 was brought to me by the propane industry, Minnesota Propane Association, and the long story short on this bill is right now there are 18 to 21-year-olds who are able to transport propane in really big tanks and not in smaller multiple tanks on a truck. And so all this bill does is allows the 18 to 21-year-olds to transport propane in smaller tanks as well as the really big tanks you see going down the road. So, Mr. Chair, we have a testifier here to add some more meat to the bones there.
Right. Good morning, Mr. Chair, members. My name is Dave Wager, and I'm the Executive Director of the Minnesota Propane Association. And I'm here to testify in support of House File 2364. My organization represents 352 member companies throughout Minnesota. As stated, current law in Minnesota allows 18 to 21-year-olds to drive transport petroleum products intrastate in Minnesota, in a motorized tank truck of less than 3,500 gallons. This is known as a bulk package. And I believe you have handouts, just two handouts. One says can drive, one is cannot drive. So the can drive is a bulk package. We're asking for a change in the state statute that will allow 18 to 21-year-old trained and licensed employees to expand their job duties to include the transportation of non-bulk packages. The packages I'm referring to today are propane storage tanks that are used for homes, farms, and businesses. They include cylinders that are used for gas grills, exchanges at convenience stores and home stores, forklift motor fuel tanks. Hunting, camping, and fishing activities also use these propane cylinders. To use these propane tanks, they must be delivered to the point of use in a non-bulk package, as one of the examples is stated there. Propane is typically the fuel of choice also for backup power generation, heat, and cooking in emergencies. The license and training requirements to deliver bulk and non-bulk packages are the same. Proper training is available from the Minnesota Propane Association. Our members willingly send their employees at their expense to ensure that they are properly trained and certified. By changing state statutes to allow this group to transport non-bulk packages, it will enable our members to recruit people graduating from high school with full-time employment offers. According to the Minnesota Office of Higher Education, 30% of high school graduates do not enroll in post-secondary education. Propane use is also not exclusive to rural Minnesota. It is in every single county in our state. In a matter of weeks, an individual can be in a full-time position with good pay and benefits. There are approximately 1,200 people in direct employment related to propane in Minnesota, and many more job openings exist. These people earn almost $70 million in wages for an average salary of $58,000. Propane's total impact in Minnesota is $1.5 billion. We serve approximately 42,000 residential, agricultural, commercial, and industrial accounts. So in closing, I'd like to thank Representative Tapke, Mr. Chair, and Representative Olson for carrying this important bill. Thank you.
Thank you so much for your testimony. Are there any questions? Representative Petersburg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you for bringing this bill, Vice Chair Tapke. Appreciate that. Seems like a good bill. It seems to be reasonable. It's one of those things where I don't really see the safety issue compared to a bulk tank versus a tank that carries tanks. So thank you for doing that. Thank you.
Great. Appreciate that.
I guess I'll speak to my...
Yes, you're an author.
Yeah, but I guess...
The co-author of the bill.
Yeah, very, very excited that I made it in time to talk about this bill, which I think is an excellent change to clarify some aspects of this law of carrying bulk fuel in containers as opposed to in a large tank. You know, getting an individual right out of high school, getting them a very good job. If you're a commercial truck driver of any sort, you have a good paying job that has excellent benefits and a way for you to provide for your family and for your future. So this is a wonderful way that we can ensure that not only do we have an issue trying to find individuals to perform work, and no one wants to be around when your furnace stops running because you don't have someone over the age of 21 to deliver your fuel to you. This is a great way to clarify the bill, make it cut and dry, and I truly don't believe there's any safety issues with regards to a humongous tank full of petroleum products versus smaller tanks. So great bill. I was pleased that the industry, the propane industry, came and asked us to co-author this, and I appreciate Representative Tapke bringing it to me because I'm a commercial truck driver myself but do not have the hazardous material endorsement, so I could not do this even if I was slightly older age than 18. So thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Representative Tapke.
Thank you, Representative Olson. Representative Kraft.
Mr. Chair, I was wondering if someone had checked Representative Olson's driver's license to see that he's appropriate.
Is there anyone from DVS?
It's actually new. It was my birthday in January. It says it right there.
All right. Well, I'm glad we got that clarified.
It's too hard to get it.
Okay, with that, any closing comments?
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair and members. Just appreciate everybody's support and everybody's helping move this forward. So, Mr. Chair, I renew my motion that House File 2364 be moved to the Committee on Labor and Industry.
As amended.
As amended. Thank you.
Okay. Any further discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, the motion prevails. Members, we were originally going to have MnDOT do the funds forecast at this section, but there's going to be another forecast coming up here in a few weeks, so we might as well. It was a great suggestion from Representative Petersburg. He often helps with this. So with that, thank you, Vice Chair Tapke. We have no further business before the committee, and we'll meet again on Tuesday. We are adjourned.